All right. Welcome, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, and so many things to get into today, but I know that I say that, and what will happen is we'll end up doing like one or two things for the next 4 hours. Anyway, good to have you with us, and I promised you guys this late yesterday because I kind of had, I don't know, what did Coach Chuck Dickerson used to say? Diarrhea of the mouth, constipation of the brain, something along those lines, because started talking about getting together with the family and friends over the holiday and getting into all these conspiracy theories. And sometimes conspiracy theories turn into conspiracy facts. For example, I happen to believe that enough information is publicly available to say without a doubt that there is at very least reasonable doubt as to the story that Lee Oswald, using a bolt-action Italian rifle, the scope of which wasn't even mounted properly, killed JFK on November 22nd, 1963. I think there is reasonable doubt as to Oswald's guilt and considerable evidence as to the idea that Lee Oswald was actually working for American intelligence and, by the way, was also deemed a confidential informant by the Attorney General of the state of Texas at one point, even gave his CI number and how much he was being paid to work for the government. Come on. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And my point yesterday was that Oliver Stone, I think, is one of the most unfairly maligned individuals in the history of American film. And that movie he made 30-plus years ago, JFK, the most unfairly maligned movie probably in the history of film, because it was attacked before it was even released. They attacked it, they being major news outlets, reputable news outlets, you know, the same kind of reputable news outlets that went after Jim Garrison in 1967. But anyway, there was that one. And there are other conspiracy theories that have come up. And look, I did this the final part of yesterday's show, and I said, hey, I think I'll start tomorrow's show with it because this is a slow week. I mean, because I think it's very, very interesting. I had people tell me over the holidays when professional sports, various professional sports came up, they looked at me and you know, almost like intellectuals wearing Argyle sweaters and smoking pipes with horn-rimmed glasses, and basically said, Tom, you have not figured it out yet. And I said, what are you talking about? Professional sports are rigged. It's all about the gambling money. It has nothing to do with talent. It's all controlled by outside forces to maximize the payout to the people who have the most to gain. And all you really need is just one crooked zebra involved, and that can affect everything. And I thought to myself at first, well, that's a cockamamie theory. And then I started thinking about it. And I started thinking about some of the calls I've seen in a certain league this past season, which make absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I cannot, in all fairness and in all honesty, and go ahead, think I'm crazy if you want to. I don't care. I'm used to that. But in all fairness, I cannot say that I believe that pro sports are on the level 100% of the time. I think that that would be a very naive position. I do think there is corruption, and I think there are enough videotapes of some very questionable calls in every major sport to give that theory at least a little bit of credibility. So I cannot discount that professional sports are nothing more than another version of the Harlem Globetrotters, if you want an example. So there was that one that came up. And then there was the, let's see, couple of other ones, and one of these actually came up on the show, and I really don't know how to answer this one because what I have looked into, I can't find any reputable refutation of this. Maybe you guys have it, I don't know. Tom, you know that the United States didn't really land on the moon in July of 1969. It was all an elaborate hoax by, not Roman Polanski, the other guy, Stanley Kubrick. Roman Polanski was involved in other pursuits of a very disgusting nature, I might add. I can't find any evidence to support that. In fact, Stanley Kubrick's family says when the moon landing was taking place, he was on the porch watching the moon with them or something like that. There was something along those lines. So I have a hard time accepting that the moon landings were staged and Hollywood, because you would need so many people involved in that conspiracy who are still alive today. See, with the Kennedy assassination, talking about JFK, something very interesting happened. And I've mentioned this before on the air, talking about conspiracy theories that came up when I was hanging out with people over the weekend. With the Kennedy assassination, it is uncanny the number of material witnesses who died during the investigation and before the Warren Report came out, the number of people who died in 1967 when Jim Garrison in New Orleans was doing his investigation, and the number of witnesses who died in the late 70s when the House Select Committee on Assassinations was doing its investigation. It defies all laws of probability. What are the chances in the late 1970s that Johnny Roselli, Momo Giancana out of Chicago, and George de Morenschild, Oswald's friend, would all die right before they were supposed to testify before Congress? It makes absolutely no sense to me. And you can go back to all the people who died after they gave their statements to the Warren Report, before the Warren Report. Actually, the day the Warren Commission arrived in New Orleans to investigate Oswald's ties in New Orleans, a material witness by the name of Dr. Mary Sherman somehow mysteriously died in a fire, which was strong enough to burn an arm off her body but not singe the drapery nearby, which is really interesting. I doubt there's any firefighters listening who have ever experienced that. Such intense heat that would literally burn a limb off a body and yet feet away, not even as much as a scorch mark on drapery. That wasn't a homicide. And again, the timing. Wait a minute. This happens as the Warren Commission comes to town? Give me a break. So I think there's enough out there, I think, for any reasonable person to say something really fishy happened in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. Now, the other thing that came up yesterday, and I don't believe in this, but honestly, I can't discount anything because I live in a three-dimensional world. Some people live in a fourth-dimensional world and a fifth-dimensional world, and I have to be really honest with you, I don't understand the whole concept of that. I don't believe in fairies. Don't make any jokes. It'll get me in trouble. But I've talked with intelligent people who say, Tom, fairies exist. And I always make some wise comment, which you can imagine what it was and what it is, of course, involving David Ferry, Oswald's buddy in New Orleans. The topic of Sasquatch came up, of Bigfoot. And I said yesterday that you're going to have a hard time believing me of Sasquatch, of Bigfoot. And somebody last night said, Tom, what you don't understand is you're a three-dimensional guy and Sasquatch is a fourth-dimension being. And, of course, it can turn invisible. And that doesn't do it for me. Because at some point, even an invisible Sasquatch would be hit by somebody's Ford pickup truck or Silverado. Wait, I didn't say that right. Silverado. Thank you. That's much better. Thank you, Sam Elliott. Your spirit has imbued me with inspiration. But you're going to have a hard time believing me of Bigfoot because you got to explain how Bigfoot can turn invisible. Now, speaking of invisible, and this came up late in the show yesterday. Look, you guys can look this up all you want, because 10 years ago, people thought I was bat poop crazy when I said the government is experimenting with stealth personnel gear around my house. And people thought I was nuts until, number one, I broke the technology and I put my results online. Number two, I identified the people who were involved in the research by having license plates run of people who were around me in traffic, different days, different times of day, different places. And number three, Defense Intelligence Agency sent somebody here to Buffalo to talk to me for 3 hours about how I broke the technology and how I figured out who was doing the research. And I will swear on a stack of any holy book you like, I will swear on my children's souls, that is exactly what happened. So, yeah, do I believe in invisibility? Yeah. And in fact, if you go online and just do a story or just look up a story about U.S. military's next fear, invisible Russian soldiers, kind of makes you wonder how we got bin Laden so easily, doesn't it? So anyway, and what was the other thing that came up yesterday? At risk of being lumped in with Adam Zyglis of the Buffalo News, it makes no sense to me. You talk about conspiracy theories. And this, look, this is in the New York Times. It's not in the Buffalo News. There is a story, and you can look it up yourself online. Israel knew the blueprint of the Hamas attack a year before it happened. Not just whispers in the wind, not just occasional spouts of intelligence, but knew the blueprint of the attack. So my question is, why did Israel let the attack take place? Because they knew it was coming. And if you had a year's notice that Hamas militants were going to invade your country and engage in all kinds of terrorist attacks against your citizens, why wouldn't you increase your boots on the ground, increase your confidential informants pay, whack out the people who were in charge of the operation so it never happened? But yet it happened, even though Israel knew it was going to happen. And it made me think, what does Israel have to gain? And then I realized, wait a minute, they just got $2 billion in American taxpayer dollars to help in the fight against Hamas. And how is it remotely possible that the finest intelligence services in the world, who have equipment that is so far in advance, it's almost like something out of Star Trek, how is it that they missed a massive attack like this? And sure enough, New York Times, you can check it out yourself. This is not anti-Semitism. Don't even think about putting me in that category. The New York Times itself, that very anti-Semitic newspaper, Israel knew blueprint of Hamas attack 1 year before. And you have to ask yourself the question, if they knew about it and they allowed it to happen, who benefits? Why do they benefit? There is no way any intelligence agency is not going to beef up its resources and infiltrate the people who are going to pull off the attack, like they did with the Iranian nuclear program, like they did with the Egyptian rocket program. And a little fascinating piece, and I don't mean to get too far off into the weeds here, but we are talking about conspiracy theories. There was, in World War II, there's a very famous Nazi commando, a very big guy, and his name was Otto Skorzeny. And he's actually the guy who rescued Benito Mussolini at one point and flew him to Germany to get him out of harm's way. Well, guess what happened? Late in Otto Skorzeny's life, Mossad started to trail Skorzeny. But Skorzeny knew that he was being surveilled, because you develop a sixth sense for these kinds of things, especially if you're Otto Skorzeny, who is very attractive, by the way, to women, despite this giant gaping scar on his face. Well, anyway, the Israelis didn't want to kill Otto Skorzeny. I mean, here's this guy, this Nazi, you know, SS, I think he was SS, but definitely a dedicated Nazi, and yet the Israeli government makes a deal with him. Hey, we're not here to kill you. We're going to pay you, and we're going to pay you well, but you're going to have to bump off these German rocket scientists in Egypt who are building rockets that are capable of hitting us in Israel. So that is a true fact of history. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not barroom anti-Semitism. It's a historical fact. The Israeli government did business with a known Nazi so the known Nazi could take out German scientists who were working for Egypt to develop missiles that were capable of hitting Egypt. You can look it up yourself. It's multiply sourced. It's not fantasy. It actually happens. And yet, let's put it this way. Without the documentation, it would be another conspiracy theory. So, anyway, my question to you is... about conspiracy theories. And we ended the show with this yesterday, and I'm starting out with it today because I said I would do so. Which conspiracy theories are there in which you have a belief? And I will tell you that in order, for me anyway, okay, the way my mind works, for a conspiracy theory to have any validity, you've got to be able to prove it. And the reason why most people understand that I was not crazy 10 years ago is because I produced photographic proof of an invisibility suit in my backyard. I kid you not, and you can see the picture yourself, the Bowerly on Facebook page, and Bowerly on WBEN Facebook page. You can see it, and I found out from DIA that suit goes back to 2008. And then they got better and better at invisibility. I also broke nonlinear optic invisibility. And let's put it this way. Why would I even bring this up when all it does is open me up to possible ridicule? Because I know I'm right. Not only do I know I'm right, I can prove I am right. I can even name the people I talked to out of Washington who wanted to know how I broke the technology and how I figured out who was behind it. So with the conspiracy theories, the one thing, again, that I have a hard time buying is Bigfoot, Sasquatch. I don't understand fourth-dimensional beings. I don't understand fifth-dimensional beings. I do, however, like the bird song, 5D, or is it 5D? How is it that I can... you know the song if you grew up in the 1960s. But what conspiracy theories do it for you? Oh, and by the way, just to throw something into the mix, I also don't believe that Sirhan Sirhan killed Robert Kennedy. I think his security guard, connected with Bell Helicopter, by the way, just like certain people surrounding Lee Oswald, his security guard got him when Sirhan Sirhan got everybody looking at him. This security guard, Thane Cesar, popped Bobby Kennedy in the back of the head. Because there were burn marks on the back of Bobby Kennedy's skull, and Sirhan Sirhan was never behind Bobby Kennedy. Sirhan Sirhan was a patsy and should be released from prison. The guy who did it is dead. He died in the Philippines. And not only do I believe this, but members of the Kennedy family, such as the very controversial Robert Kennedy Jr., believe this as well. That Thane Cesar is the guy who killed Robert Kennedy Jr., and Sirhan Sirhan was probably under the influence of some mind control program. And before you go saying, mind control program, that sounds like Art Bell or George Norrie talk. Okay, here's a challenge for you. Look up MK Ultra. MK Ultra was a mind control program run by your friends at CIA. They wanted to figure out how they could control people's minds. Folks, that is not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. Worst thing Harry Truman ever did was to establish CIA. And toward the end of his life, he basically admitted that, because they're the people who call the shots in the American government. It's not the president. It's not the Senate. It's not the House. It's people in the intelligence community. They call the shots. And there's a reason JFK was shot in broad daylight. They were asserting their power and their dominance over the president of the United States. If they can kill the president of the United States, they can take care of you pretty easily. But anyway, so I guess the point I'm trying to make here is I believe in conspiracy theories when there is clear and compelling evidence to support conspiracy theories. However, when there is not, in my case, for example, it would be Bigfoot, I cannot buy into the Bigfoot thing. And somebody to whom I'm very close tried explaining fifth-dimensional beings, fourth-dimensional beings to me, and I'm not smart enough to figure that stuff out. Anyway, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. I say let's get a little weird today. We got a little weird late in yesterday's show, and it worked out pretty well. So I guess you guys are as weird as I am, and I like that on News Radio 930. I love you guys, by the way, WBEN.
That I could come out to here and be still floating and never hit bottom and keep falling through, just relaxed and paying attention. All my two-dimensional boundaries were gone. I had lost to them badly. I saw that world crumble and thought I was dead, but I found my senses still working.
All right. Actually, a little known fact. That is why I married the woman I did, because she knew this song word for word. So, true story. 2:37 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly with you. Conspiracy theories. We ended the show with it yesterday, and I told you I might haunt you with it again today. So what conspiracy theories are there in which you believe? And I had two people on hold that I had to say goodbye to yesterday without even putting them on the air who claim they saw Sasquatch or Bigfoot. And I'll get to Bigfoot later on, but I don't want to keep people on hold any longer than I have to, because that's rather rude of me. I like the way I say rather. Can you say watches too many British documentaries? 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Mark in Buffalo, you are on. Hello.
Happy Wednesday, Tom. How's it going today?
You know, I can't believe it's already Wednesday.
I hope you had a good Christmas, man. Anyway,
by good Christmas, do you mean did I encounter my dead brother's flatulence? Yes. And I mean, there's no other reasonable explanation for it. My dead brother paid us a visit flatulently on Christmas night at my brother's house. I'm convinced, because I was watching that room like a hawk. Nobody was in it. I walk in there and I get hit by a wall, and somebody else walked in there and she got hit by a wall, thought it was me, and I would have been proud to take ownership of that, but it was flatulently supernatural. Anyway, what's on your mind, sir?
To comment on what you were just saying, when my mom died, she was a great fan of African Violets, and I was driving back home in my Nissan truck from Florida, and the whole smell in the car was of differential oil that had just changed in African Violets, which were her favorite. Isn't that weird?
You know, people do not estimate properly the power of the olfactory memory as a mnemonic device, and it is amazing. This is a true story. True story. You talk to some people who, unfortunately, they've died off. Many of them have died off, but survivors of places like Auschwitz, and they go back to Auschwitz because they feel like they owe it to the people they lost and the people who are buried there. And one of the things that affects them the most is there's a certain smell there. You know, it's brought on by the vegetation and flowers, and it acts as a very strong triggering device for some very horrible memories. And the bottom line there is, do not underestimate the importance of the sense of smell as a triggering device. So if you smelled African violets and that was your mom's favorite flower, I can't argue with that because you experienced it. I did not. But as far as larger conspiracy theories, I found myself in the middle of conspiracy theory central various places I went last week on vacation.
Yeah, let's talk about the UFO. I want to thank you, and you were kind enough to go ahead and view the DVD that I sent to you of a UFO that I videotaped in Florida. And I'll endeavor to be brief. I was dating a very attractive blonde woman, dating and living with her in Azalea Park in Florida. And the maintenance guy came to do the lawn. His name was Bob. And we saw a glint in the sky. It was a clear blue sky, 1,300 hours. And there was a civilian jet airliner that was going underneath this UFO that was a chrome egg that was zipping in and out. It was trying to come in from somewhere else. Anyway, I had a full charge on my camcorder, and I ran out of power inexplicably. I have no idea why I ran out of power. Like, the film is not even 60 seconds long. Anyway, I took it to Orange County Sheriff, and the sheriff came back, and he said, "Mark, this is unidentified. We have no idea what this is." I don't know if you remember that DVD that I sent you.
Yeah, I do. If that's a question, yes, I do. Because it's interesting you mention that, because there's a show on, I think it's on Netflix, and it's called Encounters. And what you are saying is very similar to the story told by this constable down in Stevensville, Texas, where he trained his dash cam on an unidentified aerial phenomenon. And the dash cam inexplicably cut in and out, hadn't done it before, hasn't done it since, as long as he'd had that piece of police equipment. So when you say that your camcorder, kids, if you don't know what a camcorder is, before cell phone videos, we had things called camcorders, and I'll let somebody look that up online if you still don't know of what I speak. But it doesn't surprise me. The unidentified aerial phenomena, as we refer to them today, do seem to have an ability to suck power out of stuff. Now, the thing that I have about that, because I've got to be skeptical here, is when you're, let's say, if a commercial airliner was flying underneath it. Now, commercial airliner is going to fly at roughly 30, 35,000 feet. Now, when you look down at the ground from 35,000 feet, what do you see? You see
The plane was flying at 500 to maybe 700 feet. It was 5 miles north of Orlando International Airport off of Summerlin Drive. It was taking off. And I don't even think that jet was 1,000 feet in the air, maybe 500 feet in the air. So,
when you take off from Greater Buffalo Niagara International Airport, you're 500 feet in the air. You can see from the airport all the way to the mist of Niagara Falls and Toronto on a clear day. So my skeptical nature is, how did the unidentified aerial object pick you out of a very large area of land it could conceivably
see? I was on the ground when I videotaped it, and the thing was, it was also, my impression was, it was a chrome egg, maybe about 30 feet in diameter, and it was interdimensional. It was trying to zip in from somewhere else, and I do not have the words to adequately describe the video that I sent you. And to date myself, that was on a JVCC on a video camcorder, so I'm showing my age, which is no good.
I'm going to ignore that you just said that. I mean, you might as well say daguerreotype or tintype, you know?
My dad worked for Department of Defense, man, and he was a defense contractor, and he worked for McDonnell Douglas and Grumman and the rest of it. He started on P-51 Mustangs. He worked on Minuteman III all the way up to Black Hawk and SDI payloads, and they used to play poker, man. He said, you know what? They're here, whether you like it or not. They're here.
Okay, look, I can believe that. I can believe that we are visited by unidentified aerial phenomena and their occupants because there have been sufficient numbers of reputable witnesses who have corroborated each other's stories. Some of them in Stevensville, Texas. Some of them the Phoenix Lights, which the government tried passing off as flares or helicopters, which was typical U.S. government BS. And it was only during the Trump administration where our government actually released officially those videos of the so-called tic-tac unidentified aerial phenomena. And isn't it interesting that shortly after that, they publicly acknowledged the existence of Space Force?
The tic-tac was 2004, the Nimitz Battle Group, and it was west of Cali. And video does not lie, my friend. You know this.
Well, I've seen the video. I've seen the videos a number of times. And look, I don't claim to be an aeronautical engineer or an engineer of any type, but to a reasonable person, if that ain't a UFO, I don't know what a UFO is. And if the United States doesn't produce anything like that, and no other foreign power produces anything like that, you have to look at other alternatives. Now, here's what I don't understand. We're talking about conspiracy theories, folks. It's a follow-up to the last part of the show I did yesterday, although the middle part of the show on farts was absolutely classic. So we go from the fourth dimension to the most banal without the B. But what I don't understand is these unidentified aerial phenomena. Okay, they clearly exist. Enough people have seen them. There are enough reliable photographs to say there are things up there that we don't understand. There is enough ancient art from the Paleolithic period to the Middle Ages to the 1890s, enough accounts of things in the sky that should not be in the sky. Okay, my question is, are they travelers, in your opinion, because obviously you don't know, are they travelers from another place in the universe, or are they interdimensional beings? And I have to admit, I don't know what an interdimensional being is.
I'm an amateur astronomer since 5, and I'm 59 now. And our Milky Way galaxy type SBB is a spiral, and there's 200 billion stars. That's an estimate. So numerics would dictate that there has to be life out there. That's number one. Number two, the Nimitz battle group, that was on a FLIR heads-up display, and that's infrared, and that just does not lie because it's made for the military.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's what we would use to shoot down Russian and Chinese fighters and bombers, it's got to be state-of-the-art technology. And
absolutely.
Look, anybody who's seen those videos the government itself has no explanation for those videos. So when the government can't even come up with a good enough lie for you, you know that there's something to it. But you happen to believe they're coming from somewhere else.
They're both. I think it's interplanetary. It's within our galaxy. I don't think it's outside the local group, which is a cube 3 million by 3 million by 3 million light years. That's a local group. I think it's interplanetary, interstellar, and also interdimensional. It's all three.
Okay. See, I don't understand the concept of fourth dimensional, fifth dimensional. It is lost on me, to be brutally honest with you. But when your father, who is involved in projects ranging from the P-51 Mustang, which was a pretty good airplane, all the way to the SR-71 Blackbird, which was a pretty good jet because it could outrun missiles. People don't understand. That thing was so fast. If you shot a surface-to-air missile at it, you were never going to hit it because it would always outrace the missile. That's how fast it was. They don't fly them.
He was a technical writer, which means that an engineering technical writer, which means that you have to know all the specifications, capabilities, length, width, height, weight, throw weight, velocity, maintenance. You really have to know the weapons platform. And the last thing that he was working on with McDonnell Douglas was SDI. And I'm not going to tell you what he was working on.
Oh, so anyway, just getting back to it, you know that what I say about stealth personnel, i.e. invisibility,
I've seen it.
You've
I
seen
it. Okay, absolutely, I've seen it. You can give me a lie detector test or whatever you want to do. I have seen it.
Only have I seen it, I photographed it, I broke the technology, and I figured out who was doing it. So anybody who wants to call me crazy, I'll challenge you to a debate. Look, I have challenged anybody in American intelligence to a debate on this for years. None of them will debate me because they know I'm right, as does anybody who served in special forces, in particular the sniper people. They know damn well that I speak the truth.
I saw it in the forest. I did. It was a green mirrored shimmy yellowish thing that was on a horizontal trunk of a branch, and it was stooped over. Same thing as Predator. I ran like hell.
Well, no reason to run. I mean, they were probably experimenting with it to see how it worked in whatever weather conditions there were. But as far as your father is concerned, if they are here, does that mean necessarily, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about conspiracy theories, because people love to bring them up to me. If they are here, does that necessarily mean that the beings inside of these unidentified aerial phenomena have had contact with the American government?
Yes.
Explain.
They're doing they're not here for our good. It's a nefarious agenda, and it's a genetically based experimentation where they're creating a different species. And that also gives one pause for thought how much faith they have in the future of mankind, the way the world is nowadays.
So, okay, but here, let me just look at a hole in the argument you're making. If they are that superior to human technology, and human technology has no defense against these things, then why bother entering into an agreement with an inferior government any more than Cortez entered into an agreement with Montezuma? You just take them over and obliterate them.
The United States government tried to limit the damage whatever way they could. And an agreement was made, and let's just say one side held their end of the bargain and the other side did not.
Okay.
And that's all I can say.
Well, you know, this is troublesome to me because I wish you'd say more, even if you end up as a bloodied heap at the bottom of a tree shredder tomorrow. Are there any, according to your father, and I have to take your word for what your father told you, according to your old man,
I'll give you a tidbit, Tom. I'll give you one tidbit.
Can I ask a question first? Are there any of these aliens that are actually benevolent, that are out to save us from the debauchery of the evil aliens?
Yes.
And how come we don't see them fighting it out in the skies?
I don't know what their rule book is. I don't know what their legalities are. I don't know that, but I don't know exactly how many are visiting, but I know that it's at least half a dozen. But the ones that you got to worry about are the grays. My dad, here's your tidbit, is that he said to me, and I quote, "The grays are the greatest national security threat to the United States of America." End of quote.
But, okay, if the grays are a national security threat, and we've got aliens that are good aliens on our side, can't they kick the grays' butt?
I don't know, Tom. I don't have an answer for that.
But did your father have any theories on that? Because, I mean, I'm telling you, if this had been my father telling this story, I'd have had a million questions.
He was kind of tight-lipped with it. The only way that you could really get any information out of him was when we were playing quarter poker. And after, like, the third Budweiser, then loose lips sink ships, man. So with him, he was kind of tight-lipped with it. Some of the information that I have, I wish that I did not know. For example, I know how to make a weapon with mass destruction, which I don't need to know that element 92. You know, some of the information I wish that I did not know.
element 92? Do explain.
Uranium.
But it's kind of hard to find, isn't it?
You know, you can make all sorts of goodies with uranium, and you can make isotopes, and you can actually transmute it into different elements like thorium and plutonium.
But it's not like I can dig in my backyard. I'm going to find a whole bunch of earthworms and snakes. I mean, you got to know where to find the uranium.
That's right. I think most of the uranium comes out of Africa, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, let me ask you this. According to your father and according to you, when did alien visitation of Earth and communication with governments begin?
They don't know the exact origin because of the archaeology. If you look into like some of the cave paintings, too, with guys with helmets on and like glowing discs that are etched on the caves. I mean, how are you going to describe that? By the way, there are monoliths on the moon and Mars. And most people don't even know that. And if you don't believe me, look into it. And as far as the government stuff was under Eisenhower.
Well, when you say monoliths on Mars, can you be a little more specific?
Have you ever researched the face on Mars or any of the pyramids? Or the obelisk or tetrahedron?
I've seen photographs of alleged pyramids on Mars. I think we've
the
all
same
seen
things
the
on
faces
the moon.
On Mars.
Same things on the moon, too. On the far side.
And the dark side of the moon, there is no dark side. It's all dark. Pink Floyd established that.
But you're right about that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, so conspiracy theories abound. And yesterday I had a whole bunch of calls I couldn't get to on Bigfoot and Sasquatch. And somebody tried telling me after the show that, Tom, what you don't understand is that they go invisible because they're fourth dimensional beings. And I have to tell you that, yeah, I might have broken some pretty high-tech technology using basic common sense, but I have no idea what a fourth dimension is or a fifth dimension is. I got no idea. But conspiracy theories. We ended the show yesterday with him. Apparently, I went to Chicago on my vacation. You're going to have to put it into plain English for me because I'm not really that smart. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I'll continue this as long as there's interest in it. And if there's no interest in it, I was going to say something that I would regret. On News Radio 930, WBEN.